The Playful Psychologist podcast is hosted by me, Emily Hanlon, a clinical psychologist who primarily works with children and adolescents. This podcast has been designed to offer support to new psychologists who may feel as though they are drowning in uncertainty. It has also been designed to inform and educate parents and teachers on all things child development. Along with some special guests, I explore different aspects of child development, including developmental disorders and emotional regulation, while also advocating for those who may be falling through the cracks in our current system. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Playful Psychologist podcast. I am very excited today because I am joined by a very special guest, and we're going to talk about all things gentle parenting. And you guys may have followed along on the page Secure Foundations, which I definitely found extremely helpful when I started my journey as a parent. So welcome. Do you want to introduce yourself, tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Sarah Belitho, founder of Secure Foundations, an online community for parents of children aged 0 to 5, supporting parents through the early years struggles in an attachment-focused way. Also kind of on a transition towards play therapy registration, something that I'm really passionate about. And yeah, really just love to educate parents on the importance of the early years, the importance of those first kind of years of setting the foundations for the rest of life, really. Yeah, so that's kind of what I do in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, I think it's so important, like some of the stuff that you do. I love that you're like in the process of becoming a play therapist. I think that's so epic. But like one of the main reasons, like
it's
I
been long as well. It feels like it's been going on forever.
Yeah, I can imagine. Studying can be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
I know that you do a lot of work with parents, and I actually, like I said before, stumbled across your page when I was like fumbling my way through that like postpartum side of things. Can you tell us a little bit about like gentle parenting and what that means and what a gentle parent is?
Yeah, so I try not to kind of box myself into a specific type of parenting, but the premise of everything that I truly believe and that I try and advocate for and try and support parents to kind of understand is understanding that first and foremost, babies are born as humans, and children and toddlers are first and foremost human beings, and everything that we do with our children should be with them and not for them and to them. So trying to just see children as competent and whole human beings that already have their own agenda, they already have their own thoughts and wishes and beliefs, and trying to actually understand that rather than imposing what we thought parenthood was going to be on them.
That's so important.
Parenting with respect and understanding that, yeah, the relationship is that most important thing. And I guess the other part of it is accepting all of who they are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the expressive, the emotive, the feelings, and all of that is valid. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in having to have a reason.
Yeah.
You know, why are they behaving this way? Why are they awake? Why aren't they sleeping? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And, you know, sometimes it's like, so they're just a human.
They just do it. There's no reason. That was me early on. I definitely think like looking back, I probably had a bit of postpartum anxiety as well. And I was just like, why is he not sleeping? Like, and I think as well, like social media plays such a big role, because I'd be like, why isn't he sleeping? Like all these other babies on Instagram seem to sleep. Like no one talks about it. And I think through my page, especially now that I'm a mum, I've tried to be like as real possible. Like, yeah, we have great days, and yeah, I set up craft activities, but he hated it. And I made the organic Play-Doh, but he hated it.
I spent 20 minutes setting up an activity for 20 seconds on my investment. It's a great day.
Yeah. And it's so, I think for parents, it's really hard sometimes to know that, like, when we're experiencing feelings about our kids, sometimes it's an us problem and not a them problem. And those feelings that are what that things that we find triggering are things that maybe we need to work on. Yeah. And we need to look at why we're reacting that way. Do you find that a lot with parents that you work with?
Always.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And it's kind of, I'm actually making a bit of a shift in the new year to kind of work more on that reparenting stuff. I've been working with parents around specific behaviors for quite a while, and what I've been finding is that lots of them keep coming back for multiple sessions and then extra support for a new behavior or a new, you know, something else that their kid's doing. And then, you know, kind of over the last 12 months I've been getting I'm just doing so much work myself and so much research around reparenting and all of that kind of stuff, and I'm like, actually feel like we need to get a bit deeper here, because we're kind of focusing on this child on the outside, and I think what's at play is the child on the inside, who didn't get their needs met, now projecting.
And I think as well, when it comes to like behavior, like there's always going to be a quote unquote new behavior with kids. So it's all about going like, well, let's get to the core issues here. And sometimes the core issues are us as parents, as I am, like, I am very aware now that a lot of the things that I get triggered by in my son are me problems. Like they're things that I just don't like. It's nothing he's doing wrong. I just don't, I don't like the loud screaming.
Yeah. Mess.
Yeah, mess is a good one.
Yeah.
So how do you think societal pressure that, like, I think has come around a lot more recently, you know, this pressure that we put on parents, particularly mums, impacts our ability to, like, you know, listen to our gut when it comes to parenting choices, instead of like trying to look on Instagram or compare ourselves to social media on like what we should be doing?
Yeah. And I actually think, so my son, my eldest, is 3.5 now. And 3.5 years ago, I wasn't on Instagram. My Instagram is probably like 18 months old. And I'm so grateful. I had even 3.5 years ago, I had no idea about awake windows and tide signs and this and that. And like, granted, he was a shocking sleeper, but I was also a bit like, I feel like I signed up for this. And I feel like this is kind of the first 12 months, right? So I didn't obsess over it. Like, I didn't find that I was that obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And now obviously I spend a lot of time on Instagram for the business, and I truly hate it. I really do. I don't follow any accounts that don't bring me joy.
Same. You know? I actually went through and unfollowed like 30 accounts when I had my son, because I was like, you guys are making me feel like shit.
Yeah. And that's not them. That's not their problem. Like, that's an us problem too.
Yeah,
right?
For
like,
sure.
That's how we're kind of interpreting that message.
Mm.
But I was like, yeah, no, I'm not following any of that. But I think exactly like what you just said, why is my baby not sleeping? Why is everybody showing me their highlight reels and I'm the only one that's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning? Or you know, and even just these definitions of, oh, my baby sleeps through the night, you know, and then you get down to it and it's like, oh, they sleep through the night with 5 feeds.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, like, right, so maybe they're not all that different. But I think as well, on a positive side, there is now access to so much information.
Yeah, for sure.
But the downside of that is that it's overwhelming
and
that anybody can just spout anything on the internet and pose it as fact as well.
So true.
You know, someone that's passionate one side or the other about something gets on their soapbox and spouts whatever they believe in, particularly around, there's lots of it around sleep training and around infant sleep, and lots, like, you can take a piece of research and I can interpret it one way, you could interpret it another way.
Yeah, for sure.
You
think,
and unless you can actually read research, unless you can understand the results, unless you can understand the sample size, the recruitment process, like, you know, all of those kinds of things.
So true.
Unless you can actually, you know, understand what you're looking at, it's no point you reading it.
Yeah.
And the same as somebody saying, oh, this is an evidence-based piece of research. Like, don't take that quote as fact, because you don't know whether or not how they've interpreted the research. And
yeah, I totally agree with
you
that.
You know, like, I could find a piece of research to back up any of my ideas.
Yeah.
I really mean that research was valid and reliable.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's really, really true. So if we go back to then, like, you know how we were saying before, like, us problems versus, like, them problems and that sort of thing. Well, how do you think that, like, our childhood experiences impact us as parents or impact our parenting styles?
Yeah, I think all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. So, so, so much of it has come from our early programming, early conditioning, early experiences. And I've been having quite a lot of interesting conversations with parents recently who are really wary of, I don't want to use the word admitting because that sounds quite awful, but like acknowledging, I guess, that they experienced trauma in childhood.
Okay.
So a lot of, like, I think, like, trauma, I think, is gaining a wider platform.
Yeah.
In recent times, and I think people are starting to understand the impact of early childhood trauma, but they're all looking at, like, big capital T trauma. You know, like, oh, my parents weren't that bad.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'd hate to think that my parents thought I had a traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's lots of that, but what people aren't realizing is that little T trauma and all of those compounding experiences of not being heard, not being seen, not being validated, being labeled, and all of our parents' parts that they didn't heal from. Like, it wasn't that long ago. My grandparents were in a world war.
Yeah. So yeah, you're like, so
it
right.
Wasn't that long ago. So my dad in particular impacted massively by two parents that served in a world war. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. I think
no awareness of that, no.
Yeah. It's so, like, I think you're spot on because, like, I love how you've said, like, just because the trauma that we may have experienced may not be like a diagnostic style of trauma, we can all perceive different life events as traumatic. So, yes. Like, I'll share a little example, right? So my little brother has autism. So growing up, it was really, really hard for us to do, like, your typical family outings, typical family holidays and that sort of thing. And, like, if I was to do something, more often than not, I would only have one of my parents there because one stayed home with my little brother at the time. And now I'm hyper aware of, like, I want to do, like, all the family things with my kid. Yeah. Like, I want to do, and, like, when they don't go to plan, like, went to Christmas markets a couple of weeks ago and it rained and I was so upset. And my husband was like, he's running around in the rain. He's gone on his merry-go-round. He ate a lot of sugar.
Wow,
like,
it was supposed
yeah,
to be.
And I'm like, but it's not what I pictured. Like, instead of Santa, there was, like, Santa's slutty helper, like, on the stage, and I was like, this is not how I pictured today going. And I'm aware of it, and I have to work really hard at going, like, he's happy, like, he's got a good childhood. Again, that's a you problem, not a you problem.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on about the trauma.
So interesting though, and Gabor Mate, his quote around trauma is not what happens to you, but it's what happens inside of you.
Yes, I love that.
It's like my favorite thing, and it completely just makes sense, right? So that's my experience. My experience is totally valid.
Yeah. It's like pain. You can't measure pain.
Yeah.
Everyone's idea of pain is subjective. And you're so right. It's the same with trauma, because something that's, like, really minuscule to you might be a huge deal to me.
Yeah. And both are valid.
Exactly.
And it's really interesting when I get together with my brother, like, we're at a very, very different level of awareness. We're both quite happy to call my dad out and, you know, like, acknowledge that he's got lots of parts that could probably use a little bit of work. But my mum was quite permissive, really. You know, she just thought that, like, if everybody would just be happy, then I'll be okay. Kind of thing. But she died a few years ago, and so my brother is still very much caught in, like, a bit of a fantasy land around the whole thing. Like, she was perfect, she was amazing, she's really on a pedestal for him. Like, she was an amazing woman.
Yeah,
but there was lots of things that I've carried because of lots of things that she did, and that doesn't make her a terrible person. That makes her a person that did the best she could with what she had, and I love her dearly for that.
Yeah.
But but exactly that, like our experiences and our perceptions of those events are very, very different.
Yeah. And it's hard to like, it's confronting, like everyone, like my mum listens to my podcast sometimes. She hears some of the things I say and then she calls me. She's like, oh my God, did I do that for you? Like, was I that type of parent that you needed? And I'm like, but it's okay to not be all the things. And it's all about like going like, okay, what can I do differently? Or how can we shape the next generation? And just being mindful of those things so that we can, you know, shift the narrative for our kids.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So
good. What would you like if you could give and I know like this is probably like an eye twitch question for you, but if you could give one piece of advice to a new parent, like what would it be?
Yeah, it is a bit of an eye twitch question. Unfollow all of the social media
accounts. That would be mine too, 100%.
And honestly, go inwards.
Yeah,
people have you believe that you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But look in and not out for the answers.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important. Like there are so many things where you're like, you have to trust your gut. You just have to trust like, so.
And it's there for a reason. Like we've silenced our gut. And I think a lot of that has come from, again, early experiences of us being told, you're okay. Mm. No, you're fine. No, that's not what's really happening. No, that's not your experience.
Mm.
That didn't hurt.
All women go through this. Fine. Yeah. And it's like, well, it's not like I don't feel fine. Like, so for me, when I had my little one, breastfeeding just wasn't working for us. It didn't work. So I was pumping around the clock to bottle feed him express milk. And it was so hard. And like, I felt like every waking moment I was either settling him, feeding him, or pumping. I literally wasn't sleeping. And then I made the decision at like 6 weeks to, just switch to formula. And I thought like, he's going to be much better off if he has like a happy, like mentally stable mum rather than an anxious, sleep deprived mum. So I made that decision, and everywhere I turned, people were like, oh, but breastfeeding is hard. Breastfeeding is, and I'm like, and that's okay. And I acknowledge that, but you also have to acknowledge that I was on the edge.
And I've chosen my journey.
Yeah, this journey is mine, and you do what you want to do with your kids. And I appreciate and I acknowledge and I respect that, but it's not my path. So I totally agree. Like, go with your gut and don't do things just because you think that that's what the book said to do.
Would be my piece of advice. I get a lot of like when I help parents around sleep stuff in particular.
Mm.
They'll say to me, so I don't really deal with babies because I'm very much just like, you know what, babies are hard and they don't start and they want to be on you, and I can't really do much about that, and I don't feel particularly comfortable recommending otherwise because that's what they want and need anyway. So I do a lot of toddlers, and people always say to me, yeah, but like how long shall I leave them for? And I'm like, you know when your stomach starts to churn and your heart starts to race and your hands get clammy and your legs want to move, that's when you move because your body's telling you that you should be going in.
100%. Someone asked me that yesterday because I was saying like to get my son to properly go down and properly sleep through the night. Like he slept through the night for ages, but like getting him down has always been the hardest part. And I finally found what works in the last like month and a half. He's 20 months almost.
Yeah.
And I was saying like, it sounds ridiculous. Like we say goodnight after we read the books and then I shush him for a little bit through the monitor, like after I leave the room. That's all he just needs a bit of shushing. He's down, and then if he wakes in the night, I'll give him 5 minutes, and then if I feel like it's not, I was saying to this girl like, if I feel like it's not getting better, I just go in. And she's like, but how do you know it's not getting better? I'm like, because I can hear it, like and you'll hear it with your kid. I'm like, you'll hear it, you'll know, like trust that gut, you'll know it's there, that feeling is there for a reason.
And also I think like, what's the worst that's going to happen if you go in, quote unquote, too early?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's just going to understand that you come back. Yeah. You know, like,
he can rely on you.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I think,
going inside and not outside to look for the answers.
For sure, for sure. So I understand that you have like a new membership situation coming out. So this episode will be airing in 2022. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your new?
Yeah, so starting in February, mm-hmm. I have a new membership. This has been something that's been on my heart and my mind for so, so long to give parents an affordable long-term solution for to be able to reparent, basically. So starting at the beginning of February, it's called the Pop Club, which is parenting on purpose.
Oh, cool.
So the idea that we are going through a process of self-awareness, self-compassion, and self-forgiveness to try and work through lots of those patterns. It's obviously not therapy, but it's geared towards trying to help parents to find the right questions to question themselves to gain some kind of understanding around how they've got to where they are. Yeah. And so we'll do like weekly work. There's monthly webinars and we'll have some guest experts in there. And yeah. And then the last Sunday of every month, we're going to have a club yoga mindfulness.
Oh my God. I love that. That sounds awesome.
So I'm really excited. I think it'll be really nice, but I'm just an opportunity to get a bit deeper and to try it. And then obviously sprinkled in with some parenting strategies.
Yeah. That sounds so great. I'll definitely link the website for you guys in the podcast notes for today's episode that you guys can check it out. But if people want to follow along and you know, see what else, what content you've got out there or see what else you have to offer, where can they find you?
I'm rambling about. Yeah. You can find me at Secure Foundations on Instagram. That's kind of where I'm most active.
Awesome. And I'll link that as well for anyone that wants to have a follow. So just check the episode notes for the episode today. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. I think this chat's going to be like I wish I had something like this to listen to when I was going through things. So thank you so much for sharing what you're so passionate about.
Thank you.
See ya.